You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
You could have totally joined me there. We would have made it even more epic.
I just wanted to wait. You do it so good.
We are the podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and give you our honest opinions on those experiences. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. The bads are usually better.
Maybe.
The bads are bad. They're bad for us, but for listeners, they seem to enjoy.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to listen to me just like
whining.
Shit on Batman versus Superman for 2 hours, but
some people liked it.
I guess.
I think it was more the all the Zack Snyder stuff, maybe.
I mean,
that's what I really love.
Or cannot say that he didn't get a massive erection during 9/11.
I don't know. What true American didn't have a massive erection?
I bet you the Boston Marathon even got him a little rigid.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I'm not going to go any more recent than that, because then I think that becomes inappropriate.
Too soon, bro.
Boston Marathon might be okay to joke
about. How long ago was that? Was that like 4 years?
It's probably only been 1 year, and it's
it's not been one. I think it's been like 3 or 4, honestly.
I can't believe we're talking about this already. I am so sorry.
Well, hey, man, that's how this show started. So let's go ahead and divert. Let's divert. Abort! You got things to do after this episode. You got to get ready for a wedding.
I do.
Who the hell is getting married?
Well, my friend from college, Joe Armstrong. His wife, Ellie Steele. Ellie Steele.
Oh, Ellie Steele.
Ellie Steele.
I thought it was like some French name, like Ellie Steele.
I was going to say Ellen, because that's her name, but she goes by Ellie, I got like tripped up in my thoughts.
I got you.
Yes, I'm going down there.
Where is down there?
It's in North Carolina. Yeah, they're up in the Appalachian Mountains. I know.
Where were you at? Like, where did you grow up there?
I was in Piedmont, really close to Charlotte.
I was in Wilmington.
Oh, yeah, so you're the coast.
Yeah,
obviously.
It was great.
Yeah, yeah, I've been to Wilmington several times, mostly the Outer Banks.
That's where a lot of people went. I spent most of our time between Wrightsville Beach and Carolina Beach.
Okay.
Carolina Beach during the days, boardwalks, all that. It was a blast.
Yeah, no, you went to the right spot.
Yeah, got super hammered and boogie boarded for 2 days straight.
That sounds like the perfect vacation. I'm hoping to get really hammered and boogie board during this wedding.
You really should.
But they're in a mountain area, so I don't know if it's going to go well.
How long are you going to be there?
I think till Monday.
So it's a nice long weekend getaway
for you
and the missus.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Grind? Yeah, you're the...
Mrs. Grind.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Grind.
Yeah, remember, because I'm Mr. Experience.
Okay. So you're the experience, I'm the grind.
I guess I don't even know. Who knows? It's so dumb.
Mine's more sexual?
Yeah, maybe.
You could be Mr. Sex Experience. I hate where this episode is going already.
I love it already. This is
so
fun.
Sorry.
So you was your friend in college. Now, this is not who you had the podcast with, though.
Harrison Baumgartner.
Harrison,
he will be there. He's also going to be one of the
give him my kindest regards.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that.
And tell him we want him on the show ASAP.
Also throw it out to Tom Hart, who will also be at the wedding as a groomsman, who also listens to our podcast pretty regularly.
Tom, thank you as well for listening. And again, the groom's name is, I remember, Ellie Steele.
Oh, groom is the man who gets married.
Yes.
That tripped me up for a second. I was like, groom.
You have been a
Who's
groom.
The groom. What?
No, I said the broom, like the magical brooms from Fantasia.
Oh, the broom.
Yeah.
The broom is Joe.
Okay.
It's Joe.
It's Joe.
He's going to be the broom.
Well, Joe and Ellie, congratulations. We wish you all the best from our stupid little thing here.
Salud.
Salud. Let's give
him
that.
Hey, that's beautiful.
There we go.
It started with a erection from the Boston Marathon.
God, you had to bring it back.
And then it ended with a beautiful thing. This podcast is like birth. It is hideous and ugly, and yet somehow something magical
happens. There's magic
happens.
In there.
Yeah, yeah, right?
There really is. So, excellent. Well, I think, I don't know. You had a topic you wanted to discuss.
Carry on the podcast.
I'm gonna barrel. I want you to get home to pack. You got to pack, I know. And you're very worried about it. So,
so our episode tonight, in case you didn't read the title, we're going to be talking about The Brothers Bloom.
Mm-hmm. A movie I've never even heard about until you.
It's one that I loved when I saw it, was really into it. It's from director Rian Johnson.
Who I really love. He's done Looper. Mm-hmm. He will be doing episode 8 of Star Wars.
Yep.
And he did Brick, which is a request from
Paul Korn.
Paul Korn, fellow listener, and he will hopefully be coming on to talk about that. So,
oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I look forward to doing that one and finally actually meeting Paul. I've only dealt with Paul online.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you've seen me recently share the season 14 King of the Hill stuff
on my
Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, Paul writes those. That's his Twitter.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, surprise. I kind of ruined it there, Paul, if I did. Sorry. I don't know. But they're fucking great. And if you're a fan of King of the Hill at all, you should check out
There's season no more 14, illusion.
King of the Hill.
Yeah. The man behind the curtain has been revealed. It's Paul Korn.
But no. So we look forward to talking to Paul at some point in the future about Brick by the great Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we are talking about The Brothers Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And The Brothers Bloom is a con movie?
A con artist movie, yeah.
There we go.
It's not necessarily a heist movie, so it's a con artist movie. That's it. Like, I don't know if there is a better genre trapping it is, so I just, con artist movie.
Fair enough. I agree with that description.
Was that it was a con artist movie?
Yeah. Well, because it's... I mean, here's why I differentiate.
I mean, that was a pretty good description.
This is a movie, though, more about the con artist than the con. Where generally movies in this genre are about the con. And it's about trying to pull one over on the audience, too.
That is true.
Famous example, and I'll go ahead and bust in here, because we're going to talk about some now. I think the most famous example would be The Usual Suspects.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess that does count. I didn't think about that when we were approaching this topic.
Yeah. I thought about this pretty long today, so.
That's a good one. And that's one that really does try to fool the audience. I think most of the con artists and heist movies like try to get one over on the audience. Like, it's their big Sixth Sense reveal twist.
It's kind of fun. It keeps you like...
It keeps you on your toes. It keeps you guessing. It keeps you involved. And that's... I love these type of movies.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
an easy sucker for them. Like, even like the bad ones. Like, if you remember Confidence with Ed Burns. I think Rachel Weisz was in it too. Dustin Hoffman, I want to say.
I don't remember that one. The worst one of these I've seen is Catch Me If You Can.
What?
No, I'm sorry. What's the magic one?
Oh, now you see me.
That one.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
I was like,
sorry. Catch Me If You Can is amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Yeah.
And I knew I fucked up and misspoke as soon as I said it.
Now you see me. Garbage.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
I don't even care to see the second one.
Well, it's bombing, which I'm very happy about. Because, I mean, you know what? All right, so whatever. Hollywood and sequels is bullshit, but like, really, did the world need another magician con movie? It didn't.
And why didn't you name it Now You Don't?
Now You See Me, Now You Don't. That's good.
That would be way better than Now You See Me, Too.
Now To See Me.
Yeah,
and then the third one is Now You See Three.
Well, then you get like the dumbness, like Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. Those are also these type of movies.
And Steven Soderbergh, that's what I was going to bring up as some of my favorites. I know they're like the straight down the middle, like right over home plate, easy pitch. Like,
they're very formulaic, and generally you and I are very anti-formulaic, but I love them in this genre.
Me too.
So
it's just like comfort food. Like, it's
I would totally agree with you there.
It's like you go to McDonald's, but for some reason, like, the chef's really on point. Because, like, I think that's the worst.
The McDonald's chef.
McDonald's
fry cook. The chef. Right,
let me twist this.
Okay.
You go to McDonald's, and little Gossie's back there cooking up some burgers, and he goes, "Here's your quarter pounder." Bam! And then you're like, "What? Yes, I'll eat this quarter pounder with cheese."
And bam.
And bam.
Yeah.
He says bam, right? Emerald. Am I right?
He does. Yeah, that's him. Okay.
I forgot. I was going to say ShamWow, but that's not Emeril Lagasse.
So wait, you said, is it Emeril Lagasse? That sounds so close to Bela Lugosi.
Actually, is it Emeril Lagasse?
I don't know. I'm thrown off because
I don't know. Agassi, I think, is wrong.
I don't know.
Let's just go back to
Emeril. And then
there's
Andre Agassi.
I
don't know
Emeril.
What's happening. Who cares? Andre, it's your fault, goddammit.
So you go to McDonald's. You get that formulaic cheeseburger, but it's like this quality chef's there cooking. And that's what I think the Ocean's movies are. It's these very formulaic, very generic movies, but you get the talent of like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, all of them people. And then you get Steven Soderbergh directing. So like, the movies look beautiful. Like, they're well edited.
Yeah.
I'm in. Like, even I'll
they do nosedive.
I disagree. I think I'm the weird one. I love Ocean's 12. Ocean's 12 is my favorite. And it's then, that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pyramid.
I'm in the camp of it.
I think the third one is the worst.
It's garbage.
I don't think it's garbage. I still really, really like it.
I can't. I've watched it like twice, and I don't see myself ever watching that one again.
I love it. That's the one where Don Cheadle dresses up in the American outfit. He's like the motorcycler.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that. I could just watch that scene where he's like, "I'm a goddamn fucking flying American," like all day. I could watch that scene over and over.
I love when the Chinese dude jumps out in 11 and he goes, "Where the fuck you been at?"
The little Chinese dude is fantastic. Yeah. I can't think of his name, but he's great.
And I think all these movies do better when they have an Asian sidekick in the mix, which we will talk about more in Brothers Bloom.
Interesting. What other con movies have an Asian sidekick, though?
I
don't know.
I just want to throw that out. I was trying to segue into Brothers Bloom a little bit.
You just did a little thing.
Have you ever seen the movie, I think it's called it's 3,000 Miles to Graceland?
It's Kurt Russell as Elvis, as an Elvis impersonator.
Dude from what? Kevin Costner. They're both Elvis impersonators, but it's in this vein, too. It's not bad.
Huh? Okay.
It's very similar. It came out before Ocean's 11, but they were trying to plan a
Vegas heist.
Yeah, casino heist. Okay. It's enjoyable. It's a bit cheesy and campy. Yeah. But
I mean, really, like, now you see me. I didn't like, because it's like all CG. It doesn't feel real. Like nothing about it feels
it's
good.
Fake and just.
But as I said, I'm like, I'm such a sucker for these. Like, I was watching, and you said Kurt Russell, and that brought it to my mind, like, Art of Steel. It's like this direct-to-DVD movie that came out maybe a year or two ago.
Really?
It's garbage. Like, it's not good. But it's a heist movie with him, Jay Baruchel, Matt Dillon, and a few other notable people. And, like, I love it. Like, I can't... Now You See Me, I think, is the only con movie I've ever seen that I do not like. Like, I am just...
It's not good.
Such an easy sell for these. Like, you do a con movie, and, like, I love it. Like, I am drawn to them. And that will largely affect, like, my talking about The Brothers Bloom later, and that's why I kind of picked it, is because I think it's one of the better con movies. But, I really enjoyed it. I thought I had another one in my brain, but it left
me.
I've got another one.
And I can't remember the name. Oh, I just remembered it. The Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan.
Never saw it. And Rene Russo, right?
I think. Yeah. That's another con movie. And there's this other great one that had Jeffrey Rush that I watched on a plane.
Okay.
And I can't ever remember the name of it, and I will give it to you after the show, because it's a really good one, but it's really weird.
Jeffrey Rush.
He plays like an art curator in Prague or something. Mm-hmm. And the whole movie is about, it's a big con. It's also really well done. Like you, am generally a big sucker for these movies. And anytime they just have a tendency to hook you. Because while they are formulaic, there's always, you know that there's something coming. And I like trying to stay the step ahead and see what's happening. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Even, Yeah, I think the best con movies are the ones that you try to stay a step ahead, but you never quite get it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's a little deceptive on the director's part. Like, I think they design these so you can't figure it out. And there's always a twist that you don't see coming, and they deliberately hide information. In most movies, that would be an issue. With these, like, it never bothers me. Never.
But again, I think the one that does it the best is the first one I brought up, which would be Usual Suspects. When you see Kevin Spacey... Mm-hmm. And his gait changed from the cripple to the strut. Holy shit, man.
I'll argue that movie only lives because of that.
Yeah. Twist.
Like, you take out that Kaiser Soze reveal, and it is...
It's very 90s.
It's 90s, and it's very mediocre. I don't know how you feel about Bryan Singer. I think he is, like, one of the laziest directors. Like, his visual eye is a little bland.
He's the X-Men guy now, too, right? Is that him?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and now he's trying to do colorful and, like, eye-catching, and, like, you can see it just isn't working because he's very bland. Like, his movies, The Usual Suspects, Valkyrie, the first two X-Men movie, and then
I did
Apt
like
Pupil.
Valkyrie, though, too. Man, and Apt Pupil.
Apt Pupil is great. And I like that's, I think, Stephen King, right? King. Yeah. We need to do some Stephen King movies soon, because Stephen King has some really good movies and some really shitty movies.
He has like two good movies.
Oh, he has more than that. Garbage. You're being too harsh. All right.
I might be, but I'm a big King fan.
The Stand, if you count that as a movie, is good.
It's garbage.
Wrong.
That movie is awful.
It's not anywhere near as good as the book, but it is still good.
So made for
the
TV.
The Mist is good.
The Mist is the best one.
The 1408 is good.
1408 is okay. I would have liked anybody besides John Cusack in that role.
Cusack is like the con film of leading actors for me. Like, you put Cusack in a movie and I'm going to just like his performance no matter what. Even though he's always Cusack. He never does anything besides Cusack.
Even
I like
Hot
it.
Tub Time Machine? Because I think 2 is better because it doesn't have Cusack.
All right.
I'm just saying. And neither of them are great movies. They're both pretty garbage.
All right. I'm a big Adam Scott fan. All right. Holy shit. You're saying too much here. You're saying too much.
Hot Tub
Time Machine 1 is fantastic. It is a fantastic 80s tribute.
But you've
and
got
throwback
John Cusack and all over the place in it.
Because he was the 80s kid. That's why it makes perfect sense to have him there. You do like all the callbacks. You do the 16 candles kiss on the table. No. Hot Tub Time Machine 1 is fantastic. It's phenomenal. It does what it needs to do perfectly. Everybody knows what movie they're making. Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is just offensive garbage. And making Rob Corddry, the main character, he's the most unsympathetic asshole ever. Like, say what you will about John Cusack, at least he has charisma.
He is a leading man, where Rob Corddry is much more supporting.
He's strictly support. I like Rob Corddry.
I do too, yeah.
But he firmly, the spice. I'm trying to think of a spice that's like too strong that you have to have a little dash of. He's like paprika.
Okay.
You just need
or
a little
curry,
bit. Or cinnamon. You have too much Rob Corddry, you're going to fucking throw up and gag. That's
what I
feel.
I love him in Children's Hospital.
I'm not crazy about Children's Hospital. I don't think Adult Swim's been good since, the second or third season of Robot Chicken. It's been kind of
We can get into Adult Swim at some other point.
But Hot Tub Time Machine 1, fantastic.
How do we get into
Hot Tub Time Machine 2, garbage.
Let's move on. Another, it's sort of a con movie. Not so much about the con men themselves, but it's John Cusack, Amanda Peet. It's like a horror movie almost, where they're...
Oh, Identity.
Yeah, Identity.
Yeah, that's not necessarily, I don't want to say a con movie.
But
that's
it's
the directors conning the audience.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we do that, then we just get into like the M. Night Shyamalan stuff, because like he does that too.
True.
But that said, Identity, I think, is a fantastic movie.
I really enjoy Identity.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
I saw that in theaters and was like, wow, okay. Yeah.
I caught it like on DVD. Like, I went through my John Cusack phase in college.
I did too.
I just bought like all John Cusack DVDs. Bought Say Anything,
Like all Lonely White Nerds, I think we all had a John Cusack phase.
I think so.
Thank you, John Cusack. You helped us grow up, even though I kind of shit on you in Hot Tub Time Machine in 1408. If you haven't, 1408 is honestly one of Stephen King's best short stories if you haven't read it.
I have not read it.
It's a short story, so it's like maybe an hour. It's fucking great, man. It's so creepy.
Real quick, before we move back on to the cons, because I got two more movies to talk about con-wise.
Okay.
But let me also get out Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, fantastic.
Those both hold up really well.
I have to say that, because I can't just say 1408 and The Mist and not mention the actual two great
The thing that you mentioned there is Shawshank, Mist, Green Mile.
All short stories.
And all same director.
Yeah, Frank Darabont.
And Frank Darabont gets Stephen King. Like, they have a great
Darabont
relationship.
Gets any material he's given. Like, so that Walking Dead show, kind of hot garbage. Especially now, and I've not seen a lot of the new stuff.
I've had
so many issues with it, but what I didn't have issues with was the first and second episodes directed by Frank Darabont.
Yeah, of course.
Perfectly.
Those are amazing.
And then AMC fired him, and that show has been a shit train since.
Yep, and that's what you get, AMC.
Yeah, I think so.
But you get fucking retards that love it. Sorry, I used a hard R. You get really fucking dumb people.
I like
that
the soft R
show.
Retard.
Oh, man. I don't get how people are. That show is such a fucking edging cock tease. Like,
I think you need to explain this now.
Edging is where you ejaculate almost to the point of coming, and then you stop. And that's what I feel Walking Dead is. Like, it's like, oh, here's, no, nothing's happening. No, nothing's happening. Oh, here's a zombie, and it ate somebody. Oh, nothing's happening. It's just this fucking stupid cycle, constant.
I see that. For me, the show reeks of, like, trying really hard to be offensive and shocking, and, like, that's its only trick.
It also reeks of pushing everything towards mid and season breaks, because they don't have a gigantic budget, so there's shit tons of filler, but because they're network TV, they can get, like, 20 episodes where, like, shit only happens in, like, four of those a fucking season.
You could argue that about any show.
A lot of them, yeah. Shorter run shows, there's more that happens. There's not so many filler episodes in a 10-season Game of Thrones. You're going to have more that entices you, not fucking 2 weeks on a farm of nothing happening.
You still get filler episodes every once in a while.
Exactly.
Like, that's even the best shows kind of have that. You have, like, the budget restraint episodes because, you know, the big battle is going to happen.
Exactly. I understand the beast, but I just think there's so much more of that in Walking Dead because...
Yeah. And I also think, like, all right, so if we're going to compare it to Game of Thrones, like, that big battle scene, there is nothing that even comes close in Walking Dead. Like, I don't know where their budget goes to, but it's whatever. Con movies. Dog Day Afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And Inside Man. They are essentially the same movie. They are both great in speaking about very different things. They are thematically the same, structurally, story-wise, the same, but speaking to many different points and to the different time periods, and I think they are both incredible.
Dog Day, especially for the time period it was, man, was so genre bending and pushing because of the content of that movie. Like, the whole reason he's pulling that off was for, like, his gay partner to have a sex change.
Right.
Holy fuck, and that was in the 70s? 70s.
Yeah,
are, like, you fucking
late
kidding
70s.
Me?
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. Mm-hmm. That movie would still be fucking
so, like, progressive.
Weird today. Like, people would be like, what? I don't like this. Ah. But no. Fucking kudos, man. That movie's great. I love that movie.
And that's what I've got. Those are the ones I
kind of
wanted to
hit.
I did
have one question for one, and then we can move on. Matchstick Men with Nicolas Cage.
Shit.
Is that a confidence movie?
It is. Because they're grifters.
They are.
They're grifters.
Yeah.
And like the whole movie is Sam Rockwell gets one. And again, Sam Rockwell, because...
Of course, yeah.
Fucking Sam Rockwell,
and
right?
It's one of Nick Cage's better performances.
I agree. Oh my God. Just...
I also really like him in Weatherman.
I love Nick. Gore Verbinski. Like, he went on to do the Pirates of the Caribbean and Lone Ranger.
Weatherman
is just so on point.
Yeah,
like,
it's a great movie.
A small focus movie. Yeah, I love that movie.
Man, it's one of those weird indies that gets a big name and they just work. So
yeah, that's
it's got Tia Leone as well.
Weatherman is how I learned about Camel Toe.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I'm again, younger than you guys.
And no movie ever taught you about THO, though.
Well, because THO is a dumb Indianian thing. Notice I didn't say Hoosier because it's a
made-up
word.
Ask your friends at this wedding.
Laura has already done this.
Oh,
Laura has made a point because she thinks THO is everywhere.
I understand it's not.
Pound, hashtag.
Hashtag THO.
THO.
Okay.
Is that what you want to do? All right. Listeners, viewers, hashtag THO. Let us know if you've heard of this, if it's just a dumb Indiana thing. And if you have heard of this, let me know if you are in Indiana.
Or from Indiana. Yeah. It's like Big Red. Big Red does not really exist outside of here.
That is true. We have ABC stores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Those fucking kicked ass, except that one I went to did not sell beer in North Carolina.
They do not.
It was okay, so that's not just
ABC
that one
store.
ABC stores
are only liquor.
Okay.
And then the beer is sold in supermarkets.
Yeah.
No, not supermarkets, food stores.
I got mine at CVS.
You cannot get beer or liquors at Walmart in North Carolina.
Well, and I tried to get beer at a food store, and I couldn't get it there either. So
yeah, you have to go to the ABC stores. Mm-hmm.
All right, well... I think next up we got sponsorship. As always, right now we have the lovely Andre. I think I got us the extra dry again, right? Or is that the brute? No, it's the extra dry.
It's the extra dry.
It's our favorite. It's the one we revert back to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still 2016 and we're still keeping it epic with Andre. Hashtag epic with Andre.
Yeah, tiger noise. Rawr.
Wait, what was their fucking sticker they sent? Was it a jaguar or was it a tiger?
I don't know. It was the worst Photoshop I've ever seen.
Really not good.
It's really good. Hashtag Hashtag get your shit together, Andre.
Hashtag Andre, he does graphic design. Hire Ryan.
That sticker was hashtag embarrassing.
Oh, it was
hashtag
not good.
Ignorant. Like, come on. You can do better than that.
We're not getting paid by you fully yet, so.
That's true.
We can say these things.
You sent us some nice glasses, which we appreciate.
Great. Yes. And the pins.
But then you shit in our mouths with that tiger decal.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't go so far as to say
that. Shit in our mouths.
But, you know, if you start paying us, it's all good things that come out of our mouth here. So I'll just say, I'll tell you that. There will be no
extortion.
Yeah.
We have moved on from begging and soliciting. We are now extorting.
That's how you get the real sponsorship.
You will only get negative.
So, before we move into this, we have a musical bumper, which we haven't had for a little bit in our show.
No, we haven't.
But it's one you picked out. And, you know, something that
Actually, that's
I...
not true. We did have one for Star Wars that we just did.
Which Star Wars did we
do? KOTOR.
Oh, we did do a KOTOR.
Yeah.
Fuck, I forgot KOTOR. It just happened.
We just did that, yeah.
And if you're listening to this now, you've already heard the Fantastic Nier episode we did, too.
Yeah.
Ta-da! Which had the best music ever, hands down.
Fantastic. That episode, but, I think we did like four pieces of music because it's just so fantastic.
And that episode, no, that was a good one.
This is a good idea, cross-promotion. Definitely check out our Nier episode.
Yeah.
If you regularly just kind of skip the video game episodes,
you really should check out Nier.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best narratives in a game.
Yeah,
period.
I'll give you that.
It's fantastic. It's one of my favorite games. So glad Kyle introduced me to it.
Well, hell yeah,
and
buddy.
It's a fun discussion. I think we get
you
really
don't normally say that you've hated everything
it.
Else I've almost recommended.
Not hated, didn't understand.
Ah, okay, didn't appreciate on a level I did.
Actually,
let's say more like
well,
that.
Metal Gear Solid, I enjoy.
Of
I enjoy
but
it a lot.
But you played that before.
Yeah.
You've known that one.
Yeah.
Nier was completely new to you.
Well, I think Nier was new to me. But like in your top five, everything I've played. Except for Castlevania. I love Castlevania.
Yeah, except you didn't beat it fully.
Because I do not like the inverted castle.
We'll get semantics.
I really
out
hate
of that
the
way.
Inverted castle. Whatever. That game said 103% completed. It's done. I know you can get 210%.
200.9, I think.
Yeah, I know you can get that. Whatever. Don't care. 103%, it is done. That inverted castle's butt. But that
but
whole
anyways,
first castle, brilliant.
We've got music by... Ah, fuck. We got music from Brothers Bloom.
The name is Nathan something.
I know, and I feel
name.
Really dumb because... And he's the cousin of Rian Johnson. So I think it's Nathan Johnson. Thank you.
It could be Nathan Johnson. All right, good.
But no... He fucking killed it in this. And, you know, you
it's
and I
so
usually
good.
Focus on music
mm-hmm.
to an extent.
Yeah.
But it really shines in this movie. It really does a lot to bring out emotions
it's,
and
yeah.
set tone.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the perfect kind of music where if you listen to it, like, it fits every scene it's in. You have clear themes coming through. Like, Penelope has, like, a very specific theme. And that's what you're going to hear here is this is Penelope's theme,
okay.
which I think also transitions into the closing music. No spoilers. But yeah, so you have the themes and it can kind of blend into the background. Or if you notice it, it's really good, but it also doesn't distract.
No, it's never either. Distracting, which is something we talk about too. So, mm-hmm. All right, so here it is. It's our musical bumper. That was our musical bumper from the movie The Brothers Bloom. I fucking
great way to come
botched that intro. God damn, I'm so sorry, audience. That was a boner. That was a real boner, a real biff. Really fucking skanked it up on that one. Oh. Anyways, all right, let's fucking talk about this movie.
I don't want
man.
You to go with it. I didn't want to say anything. I just wanted to see where that was going to head.
I could have done more.
Damn.
Biff is what we used a lot as a kid when you'd wreck your bike. Oh, man, you really biffed it.
You sound like Otto from The Simpsons.
That was a good Otto.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good.
Oh, man. I know that, dude. Metallica.
I love it when Lars gets up there. I can't do it. It hurts my voice.
Do we want to play our game? Our synopsis summary game?
Well, we haven't done that in a while.
We have not. It's up
yes.
to you.
Okay. Let's do it. Go for it.
Me first? Fuck. I'm gonna boner it. All right, we gotta let sound engineer Andy get this set up and ready.
You we'll gonna biff for, it.
Don't biff it, bro. We're gonna go for 1 minute. Let me know when you're ready.
I think he's
and
ready.
And go. Brothers Bloom is about two brothers who are shuffled around from foster home to foster home because they cannot find love in anyone except for each other. And they learn to... the older brother helps the younger brother achieve confidence as a confidence man by pulling off confidence schemes or con artist jobs. So... it's a brief synopsis of their life, then it fast forwards, and they've obviously been doing this for a while. And the younger brother now hates being a part of it because he feels he does not have a real life other than what his older brother tells him to play or what he is living. And so it's a revolt. He revolts. He runs away. The older brother finds him again. He says, we're going to do one more job. It's the big payoff. And maybe he'll find love along the way. We don't know. Brothers Bloom. Stop. 51 seconds.
And that was the Brothers Bloom.
I
there we
really
go.
I like that. That was a good wrap up at the end.
All right, so Ryan's going to
go. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you got to do it too, bub.
I didn't think. Yeah, I guess so. All right. The Brothers Bloom is a movie. It was made in 2008. Maybe. I don't know. That's probably wrong. Mark Ruffalo's in it.
Killing it already. Going hard.
Oh, okay. So, what Kyle said.
Everything he said.
And Rachel Bice.
That's all I got. Done. Time. That's the Brothers Bloom.
So what, man? We should be... I wish we had more fans and bigger fans that could keep track of scores of how many of these... I have beaten you at.
I'm glad we don't,
because I think that would be
at every single one.
I think that would be another chalk up to me.
God, I choke so bad. I get the time clock and I can't do it. I just can't talk with that fucking clock.
I fucking love it, man. That was amazing. Ah, that's so good.
I'm crying.
My confidence, man, has been boosted with another win.
I've never had confidence, and I don't know what it means.
Hashtag Team Kyle, dude. Confidence is all so fake. I think we had this discussion on the Drunk Cast.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember the Drunk Cast.
I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember that part very vividly because I said that you just fake it till you make it, I think, generally.
That's some fucking dope wisdom.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. That's heavy truth.
Confucius say, fake it till you make it.
Bro.
Also, I Chinese, I play joke.
I put pee-pee in your Coke.
I think it's the most offensive thing we've ever said.
No, man, we were dropping F-bombs on the episode with your mom, and we discussed
we might cut that.
No, I don't think we did. We just went with it.
No, I'm saying we might cut that Chinese
joke. Oh, I don't know. We also talked about how the fact that your parents have a dog named Beaner.
Oh, my God, it's so bad. Beaner.
If you haven't listened to our Mother's Day episode with Ryan's mom, my God, you should check that out, because that episode is fucking fantastic.
There's some nuggets.
I had a blast on that episode. I want your mom to come back.
Oh, she'd love to. Yeah. Like I said, I think we could even do a video game episode with her.
I think we should. I think you should have your mom come and visit, and then we could just have her live. Yeah. I would love that if she ever comes in.
When she comes up.
She is fucking on the show. So,
done.
Pam,
she'd love that.
Get your ass out here. I'll just tell you that right now. So, Brothers Bloom, man. Let's get this done. Let's get you back. Let's get you home.
Also, I love the Chinese people. That's not true. I don't really know any Chinese people. But that's because I'm in Indiana, and it's like 99% white. It's really bad here. There's no diversity. I was really afraid when I moved here that I didn't see any kind of, you know, ethnicity for like a good month or so. Yeah. And I worked in the public.
Yeah.
It's really white here. But what am I saying? I feel like I'm digging my hole deeper.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I should have never said that dumb Chinese joke. It's not even good. It's like second grade.
Yeah, yeah. At least I'll give you this benefit, and I think this is what saves it.
Why?
At least you didn't physically pull your eyes straight.
Anorexia?
At least you didn't physically like do the eye thing when you said it. That's the saving grace.
Well, no, I didn't do that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the saving grace. We're going with that.
Our joke is a joke on the racist joke, and we are laughing because it is so unfunny and inappropriate.
I think if they're, you know, Yeah.
We're like Louis C.K. I mean, also, kids are the worst.
Yeah, there we go. Let's bring that. I don't know.
That's Louis C.K. That's his bit. That's his shtick. It's 60 minutes of I hate my kids, right?
I don't think anybody who has ever listened to this show or whoever even knows us in person would ever consider us racist or sexist or anything of that nature.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hope not.
We're way off track here. I'm trying to bring this back. I don't know. Do you want me to? Do you want to keep going off on this tangent? Do you want to talk racism in Southern Indiana?
I've had just like a glass.
Yeah, I don't get it, bro.
Oh, my God. All right.
You're not at the mic now.
That's probably for the best.
Get up here. Let's talk about this movie, Brothers Bloom. All right, so first question I have, out of all the other con artist movies, why this one?
That is a very good question, and I don't know if I have a good answer for it. It was right around the time, I think, in everybody's life, like where they kind of like, when they go to the movies, they just see like whatever looks flashy, whatever's the big summer blockbuster. And then like you get to a certain age, like usually in your late teens and like your early 20s, where you like start to like get deeper things in movies. You start to watch Tarantino movies. You start to understand what Kubrick's doing. For me, that never came. But
we've like, had that discussion.
I know. But you start getting into like these more independent films. And this is like, for me, when I was in college.
I think that happens a lot to us nerdy, lonely guys.
Maybe so. Maybe so, yeah.
Because I have the exact same life path as that.
There was like a few years. Like, I want to say it was between like 2004 to 2006. Where like indie films became a thing.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because that's when I was old enough to like start seeking these out on my own and I didn't have to go with like my group of friends or my family or like whatever. But like I felt like indies became a thing. This is like when Fox Searchlight and Sony Picture Classics became a thing.
I think another big part of that is the massive accessibility of the internet. So yes. It was much easier to advertise these type of movies. You heard about them, whereas a lot of indie films go unnoticed.
And you had dedicated film sites.
You get like, word of mouth and people talking about movies that...
Ain'tcool.com and like all these like really nerdy /film.com, like all these very like film school rejects. Like we are into movies. Like, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about these. And we're not going to talk about like Independence Day and Men in Black 2. We're going to give you like, I'm sorry. I don't know. I associate Will
One of those
Smith
is good. One of those is good. One of those is total fucking garbage.
I think they're both not great. Like I like Independence Day because it's schlocky fun.
God, I would much rather watch MIB2 over Independence Day.
All right. That's going to be another topic for another time because Men in Black 2 is the worst.
It's bad, but it's not Independence Day bad. Independence Day is so garbage.
Oh, I think you're just saying that retroactively because there's an Independence Day resurgence right now.
Maybe, but I've always hated it. I've always been on that. I've never liked Independence Day, even when I was a kid and I was supposed to love it. So
you're also older than me. Like Independence Day was 96, so that would have put me at like 10 years old.
I was old enough to buy the toys at Walmart. I fucking loved them. I'm only 2 years older than you, right?
2 or 3 years.
How old are you right now?
I am 29.
Yeah, I'm 31.
So you're 2 years. Holy shit. I thought you and Andy were so much older than
I. Andy is 2 years older than me.
Holy shit, old man.
No, he's my
Why
best
are you
friend.
Hanging out with us like young dumbasses?
No. Oh, go on.
This is why you don't like our movies, because you're so much more mature than we are. You're all like Spartacus, and that's it. Nothing else.
Andrew is so much more mature than us. That is what's happening.
I didn't put it together. He is so much more mature than we are.
Oh, my God. Nobody has ever said that about Andrew.
Oh, my God. In 4 years, I'm going to hate Drive.
No, I don't think that's possible. Anyways, so this movie came out at a time. It was almost the perfect time for you.
I think so. It just hit me. It did. It was, and I'll tell you exactly how I saw this, and it's the same way I saw Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and why I have such a fond.
Okay, this is explaining a lot to me.
It was 2005. It was 2005 exactly. It was my first year working at the video store. I was between freshman and sophomore year of college. I came home to work in the video store, and this is where like I got to see everything that came out. I had access to fucking everything. So, like, when everybody else was renting XXX2 Seat of the Union, I'm like, what's Brothers Bloom? Like, that looks interesting. What's Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Yeah, I'm in for that. Like, cool box covers and like that.
Which is weird that this flew completely under my radar because, you know, I loved Kiss Kiss Bang. I saw that in theaters. I thought that looked so good.
I didn't see it in theaters. I wish I did.
So things like that. Like, yeah. But this completely eluded me.
Yeah.
I'm glad you recommended it.
This was after I had seen Brick, and Brick was fantastic. Okay. I kind of knew already, like, Rian Johnson was, and like, I really like somebody to look out for.
I fucking love Looper. And I'm not knocking this movie, but I don't enjoy it as much as you do. I will go ahead and say that. I think part of that is because it is in the con artist genre, but it's not. It's a movie about con artists, not the con. And it's the first one of this nature I've seen. So it really focuses on these two guys, not on the overall things that they're doing. And I think my real problem that it comes in the fact that in this movie, I identify more with Rachel Weisz and Bang Bang than I do the two male leads. I don't see myself in them really at all, in either of them.
Yeah.
Which is a bit weird because Adrian Brody plays the love-struck, forlorn, withdrawn character. And that's usually who I would identify with. But I don't know if it's maybe because I'm seeing this as an older guy who doesn't go through that now. But I just don't identify with him at all. But it's just weird. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's a different movie.
It is.
But it is beautiful. The music is amazing. It is a fun watch, but I don't know if it's one that I would revisit frequently.
Yeah.
So that's everything I have condensed, and then we'll break down more. So
let me take a minute.
Yes, please.
Stop. I'm going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Because this is one that I would have considered in my top 10.
Really? Okay.
Of all time, favorite movies, I would have said, like, this is my favorite movie by Rian Johnson. It is the best. I loved it. I've seen it several times before this most recent viewing. I think the last time was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But I watched it again, and I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Okay.
It is not as perfect and fantastic as I remember. It is very stylized, which I love.
And that's
the
thing I know. The fact that they have... they're really trying... It's like they dress like old school guys, but it's like modern times. It's very... I don't want to use the word, but it's... hipster-ish?
It was hipster before hipster was a thing, because this is 2005.
So that's the most hipster thing of all time, right?
Oh my god, I guess it was to say it was hipster before it was hipster. Yeah.
Meta, mind blown. But it totally was. Yeah.
It was. And back in 2005, that was
cool.
Okay.
And it's still cool.
New.
I really enjoyed it. I even wrote that. I like it. It's charming. It works for this.
It is.
It's not cheap.
Yes.
It's not used to...
No. And this is gonna be, oh man, this is me airing up my demons in this episode, because I also love Garden State, but I am terrified to go back to Garden State for this very reason, because I know it is not
we
going
should
to
do
hold
Garden
up
State now, because
I'm not gonna like it as much, and I know it, because you're saying about this movie is like it does that hipster thing like well, and I know Garden State is the same but not as well, and I know I'm not gonna like it going back to it, and I had some of that with this one, whereas like this time around it felt, because of the hipster thing, like I picked up on it. I was like, oh, I don't know if I like this vibe anymore. It feels a little bit too precocious and cutesy at times.
Yeah, but it's also one of those... This was like one of the first to kind of do it. And
it was.
But then it's one of those things where like so many films have also done that. And what else did I... There's something else that we discussed recently that had that effect on me. And I can't remember it. Oh, it was Lethal Weapon. Every movie that has come after Lethal Weapon is almost a parody of that. And you've seen that movie... without ever seeing that fucking movie.
That's true. That's a good point.
To that extreme a degree. Oh, no. You're butt dialing people.
Oh, my God.
Not that guy, right?
No. What? God damn it. Hold on. Fuck. No, hang up. Well, that's weird. That was an old employee who used to work for me.
Let me just throw this away.
He's throwing it in the garbage disposal. No.
Jesus Christ.
All right, so now that the rhythm of our fantastic
Speaking
discussion...
Speaking of family video, I just called an ex-employee with my butt.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
I had to fire him. Nah.
Oh.
No, I didn't. No, that's okay. I didn't fire anybody.
So
I was such a puss.
What the fuck, man? I feel like
we're talking about Lethal Weapon and kind of how is like the
It's
original.
Not to this degree, but
No.
But it was one of those early movies that did that sort of we're going to play with what year is this taking place in? But mm-hmm. then you see the Lamborghini Countach and you're like, "Oh, so
yeah.
It is in this year."
Yeah. Yeah, I thought there were a few of those where it's just like this could be timeless. Oh, wait.
No.
This is timeless. Oh, wait, there's a cell phone. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
For me, I think, hands down, easily, Rachel Weisz is my favorite character in this movie.
I love her, and I think she's adorable in this. And she plays, like, the kind of... And this is another thing. Is like, and this is why she's not my favorite character, but it's the manic pixie dream girl fact. Because it's been done so much, like...
But again,
now,
this was one of the first ones.
But
yeah.
Like now going back, it's hard not
but see,
to
detach yourself. Here's where I like this one
yourself.
Compared to the others.
Go for it.
We're like, that is not her. That is a characteristic of her. Whereas more movies with the manic pixie dream girl, it's like
that's
unobtainable. It's like this mythical beast. Whereas Rachel Weisz as that, she's still a person. She's not defined by those traits. She's a person with those traits. Yeah.
And
it's a bit different.
I guess you could argue, too, like the manic pixie dream girl stereotype, like the woman only exists to make the man realize something about themselves and grow as a person, whereas I think Adrian Brody character, who she's in love with and they love and
all of his growing is done because of his brother.
He's done already. Like, there's not much of an arc to him. Like, what he wants and gets at the end of the film is what he wants at the beginning of the film. There's not really growth in him.
And
like,
again,
if anything,
it's all triggered
he makes her
because
change
of the brother. Yeah.
And make her want to be a different person. So
Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo.
Ruffalo is what you put in drinks.
Yeah, right. And then the girls fall down. We already discussed this. But it was a good joke. We had to come back to that.
I know. Yeah.
But no, he plays the older brother. And again, he's just, I like Mark Ruffalo a lot, but he's just, nothing really stands out about him or Adrian Brody in this movie. They are just two dudes.
I disagree with that. I agree more with the Adrian Brody, because Adrian Brody, and then sound engineer Andy and I talked about this beforehand. He's never really resonated with me as an actor. Like
even
in
The Pianist?
Anything. No, not
God
really. Like
damn,
I thought
man,
he was,
I love him in The Pianist.
I thought he
and that's
was
why
good,
I give him
like,
so many
like,
more chances.
What a fucking good character. Like I really loved him there. Like he's so fine. He does like the kind of sad mope.
He does that very
and
well.
And that's in The Pianist too. Like that's his one note character. And whereas like, you know, John Cusack's one note we talked about and he doesn't really have any other tricks. At least that's charming. I am never, ever charmed by Adrian Brody. And this is the closest I've ever been charmed by Adrian Brody, but it's still not quite there. Whereas I feel like Mark Ruffalo is doing something here. I am charmed by him. Like he is very charismatic in this movie and he's engaging. Like when he's kind of speaking and deviating all these plans, like I'm into it. Like I want to buy into it. I am the audience that he wants. Like I am listening to him lay out. Adrian Brody, can leave or take here. But
fair enough. I'm actually, I think in this movie, I would be the opposite. I think Adrian Brody is great. I could see anybody in both of their roles, but more in Mark Ruffalo's.
He's
so.
Just a whiny mope.
And if it's, I mean, that's this character though. Is your phone ringing again? Is it talking to people? Better go check. You're so distracted.
Oh my God. It's called Kyle Collins.
Hey, that's me, everybody.
Did you just butt dial me?
No, my phone's over by Andrew. It's not been touched.
Well, apparently, throwing my phone over there called you for 5 minutes.
That's
so
cool.
What the fuck? God damn it.
That's awesome.
Like, phones are the worst. Like,
oh my God, are they the worst?
Hate them.
Like, I just wish we could go back to rotary phones, hipster style.
Just
can
no
I
phones.
Hello,
no
operator. Can
like,
you connect
when
me?
When I am in my home, don't call me. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody except for the person I chose to live with.
Fair enough. Yeah, I can get that.
That's it. Or send me a letter by Raven. Like, whatever. That's fine.
Sometimes
make it important because ravens are expensive. Somebody died. That's when you send me a raven.
They also die quite frequently on the travel. this movie is again.
I love and hate this episode.
It's got this movie has a lot of interesting. Again, I'm indie movie quirks.
Yes.
I think, and it comes right out of the bag and shows you that when it shows the cat with one leg.
Yes.
It's very cute, but again, serves no purpose other than to be weird and quirky.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe that's kind of setting a tone for the movie we're in
it
for,
is.
But
it
I don't
is,
know.
Because like in the movie, you also see Bang Bang, who is my favorite character.
I do enjoy Bang Bang a lot.
She is my favorite character.
I'm sorry. It's Boom Boom.
It's Bang Bang.
Is it Bang Bang? Why did I write Boom Boom?
I don't know why you wrote Boom Boom, but it's Bang Bang. But she is, and they even make a point to say, like, some character, they're talking about Bang Bang, how they don't know anything about her. And I think it's Rachel Weisz's character is just like, I want to know everything about her.
Yeah.
I'm so interested. And that's how I think most audience members are, because they, I don't want to say she's underwritten, because she feels like an actual character.
She
just doesn't ever talk much, but she has like
she has great miming, which is what something I was very reminiscent of The Artist when I was watching her performance, because it's so based on physical, just emotional reactions to scenes, and it works very well.
That said, she is no Pepe Miller, and
Pepe Miller will always have my heart.
Adorable.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God.
Bang Bang is brutal.
Yes.
Or vicious.
She is a master of pyrotechnics and explosions.
What I liked is that you mentioned that Rachel Weisz's character, Penelope, she talks about how she wants to get to know Bang Bang better. And at the end of the movie, she is the only one that knows Bang Bang.
Their relationship is so cool.
She's the only one that Bang Bang gives her number to. Mm-hmm. You know, the other two, Bang Bang's thing is that she showed up one day just out of the blue, and they assume that she will disappear that way too. And she does. Totally does. Do you think she was in the explosion or
no.
did she got on that? Dump? I do too. I totally think she was on that garbage
I think
truck.
That's a movie's misdirection, because at that point, like, I was in the mindset like, oh, well, this is obviously Steven pulling all the strings and he's conning him. Like, that's what you're supposed to think. So I thought she was in on it. After the movie wraps up, I do think she just faked an explosion to just distance herself and get away.
And move on.
Yeah, because she made a point to say goodbye and give her number to her, and you have the big explosion. I love their relationship. When I say their relationship, that's vague. Bang Bang and Penelope's relationship, where she teaches her about like the camera, and Bang Bang's making like the little pinpoint camera, and that Rachel Weisz's character is the only one who has her phone number. And like Adrian Brody says that, like, wait, she has a phone number? And like, they've been traveling together for years and years, you would assume. I love their dynamic.
I love
so
when they're working on the bomb in the hotel room, and Bang Bang just has that little bitty piece, and Rachel Weisz goes to grab a bigger piece, and Bang Bang just shoves her hand away.
Yeah.
Like, no. Yeah.
Yeah, and going back to the mime, like, it starts smoking up, and just like the little flourish she does with her hand, she's just such a captivating character on
screen. Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree. Bang Bang is I wrote she is great fun, and she's played by the fantastic Rinko Kikuchi.
Good job. Huh? I don't know if that's how you say it, but
that's how we're saying
good.
It. God
that's
damn it.
Damn good.
Here in Indiana. I also love the rhyming opening. It goes on for a very long time, but it's
like
the prelude.
It's like a 10-minute opening.
Yeah, it's like the prelude setting up these two brothers discovering the art of the con and what that can bring back to them. And the whole playoff is that Steven wants to perform the perfect con, which some people claim that he does by the end. I don't agree, because he doesn't. He dies, right?
Well, all right. So spoilers. It's already happened, but spoilers are going to happen. He dies, but there is a line I want to say by Bloom earlier on, and he says, "I know him, and he's getting so involved with the cons that I'm sure he wants to die in one of these cons, and that's how he wants to go. He wants to die.
What I remember is that it's more Bloom says, Bloom asks, are you conning me? And Steven says, the day I con you is the day I die. And at the end, he does con him into getting Penelope, and he also
dies. That's another
dies.
Line of dialogue.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, the whole movie is set up, like, around the idea that the perfect con is when everybody gets what
they want.
And I think that's what happens, is he gets to die in the perfect con. He like you said, like he cons his brother, so he dies. He gets what he wants. He does get what he wants. He provides for his brother. That's all his character wants, is to get his brother what he wants. And he does that. He gets him out of the game and finds him love. You know, Bloom gets Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
it's I think it is the perfect con. Like, and this is just, I don't know.
It is a warm, they're, as brothers, the two do play well together. I will say that about Adrian Brody and Mark Ruffalo. Because
they're a good odd couple.
Yeah, at the end, you know, he does this trick that he's been performing through the whole movie, Mark Ruffalo's character. And it finally works for the first time. And Adrian Brody says, I only wish you had a bigger audience. And Mark Ruffalo sweetly says, well, you're the only audience I ever needed. And that's a nice moment, too.
Yeah.
So
I think that's an important thing about this movie, too, is even though it is very hipster, and we kind of talked about that and how that can be very alienating to people nowadays, it is a very sweet and earnest and honest movie. Like, it feels like the characters genuinely care about each other. And
Okay.
I know you're not, like, super big into, like, rom-coms and like the romantic stuff, but I think this is a very romantic movie.
I'm not into rom-com, but I am into romance.
Okay,
so
I think the romance here is done very, very well.
The chemistry between Rachel Weisz and Adrian Brody is on point.
Yeah,
I will totally agree with you there. Mm-hmm.
That said, I think the scene where she's in the train getting horny by the vibrator
is very silly.
Is weird, and it is like almost like an airplane type of like joke or gag, and yeah, it felt very off-putting to
the
me.
The train pulsing, the storm rumbling.
Yeah,
she's grinding on the bed, and she says, "Man, I am horny."
Yeah,
and it's so cheesy. And then Adrian Brody says, "Good night."
I like the good night, the abrupt, like, I'm out, good night. I think that's very funny, but like the whole like minute or two, it felt like goddamn 10 minutes leading up to it. It's just very awkward and
weird. I totally agree with
and
you there.
It's just like, it's like totally the unneeded. One like sour note.
I just wonder if Rian Johnson had Rachel Weisz and was like, hey, can you hump this and say you're horny for me?
That was just his life goal on his bucket list. Was if like, that, if that's make all Rachel that's, Weisz yeah. say, I'm really horny right now.
If that's all that scene was, kudos, Rian Johnson.
Yeah,
give
you got
credit.
It.
Yeah, fucking A.
It feels weird.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I do like the scenes before that where Penelope and Bang Bang are robbing the snack car.
Yeah.
Such a little thing.
And
I also
it comes back with him, Adrian Brody doing it after he steals the apple, and then
when he gets awoken from this. Excuse me, I burped. I also really like this. It's more prevalent at the beginning, but then you see it constantly play out where Rachel Weisz and Adrian Brody are exchanging this $100,000 back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like their own little game between them, and then it becomes more subtle as the movie goes on, mm-hmm. but you see him sort of pull it out of his jacket. He acknowledges it, he throws it back, and then he's putting it back to her. It's just this, it's a cute little game. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that too.
It is. And it's a completely visual gag too, which is like, it's a movie. You should have visual jokes and they do that here. Speaking of the visual self, like, I think the editing is fantastic.
This movie looks amazing.
It looks amazing, but it also just flows really well. Like, it's, I think, an hour and 50 minutes. Like, it's almost two hours.
It was.
But it doesn't feel like it. It really moves pretty quickly.
It has good pacing, mm-hmm. good editing. It is enjoyable. For anybody who hasn't seen it. I do recommend you check it out.
Yeah.
The once again, I don't know if I would revisit it immediately, but
no.
I would maybe watch it again at some point down the line.
I mean, with this new list of movies that we brought up, like, my goal was not to be like, let's talk about just the classics, because then I could have done like, let's talk about Forrest Gump or The Shining or you know, all these movies. Like, we could talk about that and it's fine. And like, everybody knows already kind of what they want out of those movies. They've seen them and they know if they like them or not. And I don't think that's as fun. Like, I want to bring, like, this movie that's weird and that nobody... I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie. Like, I think it's pretty...
I would totally agree with you there.
I think it's a lot like Near, where it's, like, it's not a perfect game, and this is not a perfect movie. There are some flaws. Like, it's not quite a masterpiece. Like, it's... There are some things that can be done to tweak it, but it's still like really enjoyable. And I think a lot of people would enjoy this movie like they would enjoy Near, as we talked about in the episode that's going to come out really recently. And that's what I want to do with these episodes going forth, is kind of just like, we can talk about
broaden
like
horizons.
The hits, but like, also you should maybe check this out, because this is something different. And like, at the very least, that's fucking welcome to me. Like, I would rather have something different that doesn't quite hit 100% as opposed to, like, Independence Day Resurgence. Like, don't give me the same shit. Like,
who is seeing that fucking different movie?
It made $40,000 or $40 million, so people are seeing
who,
it.
Why? Who are you watching the Independence Day sequel? I've not seen it, and I don't want to do it right now, but maybe on our new segment we're going to start, we can break that entire movie down from the fucking trailer.
I think it's pretty clear exactly what's going to happen in it. I've heard plot points. Fuck it. I'm going to spoil Independence Day Resurgence. The aliens come back to suck out our magma. They need our magma from the planet to fuel their ships.
That is the fucking plot.
And Jeff Goldblum apparently has, like, phantom alien vision, like, from his experience in the first movie. He can, like, he has alien sense
for you people,
like,
that don't watch on YouTube and are just listening. I have eye rolled three times in that brief synopsis.
It's absurd.
That's so dumb. That's worse than humans are batteries from the Matrix.
Oh, it's a lot worse. I was gonna say, like, it's on unobtainium level from Avatar. It's just like the laziest.
Or in that fucking movie, The Core, where they have to restart the Earth's rotation with a nuclear goddamn bomb.
So here's the thing: that movie is shit, but it did give us the South Park episode where Eric Cartman was at Woodstock and had to drill through the hippies.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So, I mean, The Core gave us that episode. Worth it.
Here's my last thing on the Brothers Bloom. It's my favorite part. Well, I can't say it's my favorite part.
Oh, no. Are you going to do it? Part.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to do it?
There's a Rachel Weisz butt shot.
There is.
Similar to Enemy at the Gates, Rachel Weisz has a great butt. Big fan of butts, as I think has been well established on this show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a little nice check mark on an already pretty enjoyable movie. So.
It's one of those moments. It's just a quirky thing.
Yeah, it's so quick and
it's
so subtle.
It's a weird and quirky thing. And that's one of the things I like about this movie, too, is, like, it is like the typical con story, except in the con story, like, the victim of the con wouldn't be as difficult as Rachel Weisz is, because they try to, like, fake an accident so Adrian Brody gets hurt and then she feels bad. But she is the one who ends up getting hurt, and she constantly, like, thwarts the plan and make them have to, like,
veer off.
Well, let's go this way. Yeah. And that's one of the scenes is she wakes up in the hospital and she's like, my car's gone. Can you take me home? As he's been watching her trying to get this con to happen. And she turns around and just butt flap.
Yep.
Wide open. There's a butt.
Because she's just in a hospital gown.
Yeah. It's just this quirky thing. Like, it's not needed, but it kind of sets the tone where it's just like, this
it works.
Is fun. Like,
it's not just a gratuitous butt shot, but it also kind of is. But yeah.
I think it's comedic. Like, it's just funny, quick little scene. It's a good scene. And I think it's very indicative of what this movie is.
It is a good scene. It works. Plus, it's Rachel Weisz's butt.
And it's a good butt. It's a good butt.
It's a good butt. She's got a great butt.
On a scale from 1 to 5, what would you rate her butt?
On a scale of 1 to 5?
1 to 5.
She's probably a 4. She's got a pretty good butt.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
It's pretty high.
It's one of the very few things I remember from the movie Enemy at the Gates is her butt. And also Ron Perlman gets shot in the head trying to jump across an apartment building.
I did not remember that Ron Perlman was in that movie.
Totally is, bro.
I remember it was like just long shots of rubble and waiting for like a light.
Yep.
That was what I remember of Enemy of the Gates.
And it's Jude Law.
Yeah.
And Rachel Weisz. Who's the fucking, the German?
Jude Law.
I can't think of the German. And then there's the pretty boy who sacrifices himself too, because Jude Law plays the sniper.
I feel like I should know this because I've walked past that fucking DVD case at Family Video.
It's the dude from History of Violence is the German sniper.
Oh, Vigo?
Not Vigo, the other guy who was the mob boss.
Ah, shit. It's Vincent Castrell.
He was Jackson Pollock?
I don't know about that. He was in Ocean's 12. He was the fox.
Really? I don't remember this. That doesn't sound right.
Well, we just talked about Ocean's 12, favorite movie. It's Vincent Castrell's, I think, or Cattrall's or something.
I'm going to call you wrong. I'm going to call you out wrong.
Fucking timestamp this.
No, look it up. Just look it up, because it's not that. History of Violence. Just look up History of Violence.
Who is the mob boss? It's not Ray Fiennes.
It's not Ralph Fiennes. It's not Randy Quaid.
If we are thinking of the person, it's Vincent Cattrall's or Cattrall's.
You're going to hear this and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I am retarded. Damn, I dropped a hard R again. I'm sorry.
I don't care. That's fine. Let's just keep drawing this out so we can edit out that that dumb pee-pee joke I made earlier. Okay. I'm not even going to refer to anything else because we're going to edit that pee-pee joke out. What's the name?
List some actors from History of Violence.
Vincent Oh, God, it's not Vincent him. Castrell. It's Ed Helms.
Ed Helms! That's the fucking guy! I knew it! You were wrong!
You said History of Violence, and I was thinking Eastern Promises.
Ah,
that was the
that's what
fucking thing.
That's what you got set off on.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
Ed
what
Helms.
It was. Also, History of Violence is
fucking
fantastic.
Amazing.
That's another one that came out like in that time, like where it was India. Is like, what is this?
And it was so
Cronenberg. Oh man, I need to go through his stuff. And
it
then
was
you
so
go to
more
Naked
than
Lunch,
what I even
like,
expected.
I'm not ready.
To Naked
I'm
Lunch.
Not ready.
Is anybody ever ready for Naked Lunch? No, they are not. Thank you, Ed Helms. You, sound engineer Andy, you were on point. And then Ryan remembered that he was wrong.
I don't think. All right. So maybe I was wrong. But at the same time, sound engineer Andy did nothing, and you're giving him credit.
Yeah.
I remembered it before he did anything.
No, you don't take credit away from sound engineer Andy.
I take it away.
You only give credit.
I take it away.
It's Viggo Mortensen, Ed Helms. Who was the wife?
I do not remember
any of
it.
It's unimportant.
Ed Harris.
Oh my god.
We have failed this podcast.
Oh my god.
Ed Helms is the fucking annoying guy from Daily Show.
Oh my god. Anyways.
Can you imagine him as the enemy of the gate? I got a sniper. I fucking hate him. I hate Ed Helms. I hate him. I'm so sorry. It is Ed Harris. Alright, so any credit that I took away, I'm gonna push three times the amount of credit on Sound Engineer Andy.
Sound Engineer Andy is the best. If you don't yet, you should follow Sound Engineer Andy on Twitter, which is it just Sound ENG?
Yeah.
Andy? Okay. Sound ENG Andy. We will have a link right here. You should really follow that dude on Twitter.
We're going to put our hands up. So this is where the link that has never happened before on one of these episodes.
No, they have.
Even though I ask several times.
We've done them.
Have we?
Yeah.
I guess I stopped watching my
It's all right. I listen a lot too. Thanks for our YouTube watchers and subscribers. You are the best.
You are also five people.
Yeah, now. But you're going to grow. Especially
six people.
So final thoughts, man. Recommended. Yes, no.
Yeah, I recommend it. All right, so before, like I said, I would have had this in my top 10. I love this movie, but going back again, there are some issues. I don't love it, but I really like it. I still think it's a fun and good movie. I don't see it as the movie that people will not like. It might be too cute, maybe, and too cutesy.
Here's the thing. If it is, watch it with your significant other.
Sure.
I'm not saying lady friend. I'm not saying dude friend. Whoever you cuddle with at night, watch it with them. It's good for that. Absolutely.
I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, I would recommend it. I don't recommend it as highly as I would have before this most recent watch, but I think it's still good.
It's not going to sit on you heavy like a steak, but it's going to be light like a chicken salad with balsamic vinegar.
It's like you go to McDonald's.
Oh, my God.
And Emeril Lagasse's there. And you're like, can I get a quarter pounder? And he's like, no, I got these chicken nuggets. And you're like, okay, chicken nuggets are fine.
And then Guy Fieri comes in. And you're like, oh, no, Guy Fieri, no!
Hey, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
That'd be like
it's
my
not,
experience.
This movie's
Batman versus Superman is like it's 3 hours
Fieri
of Guy Fieri.
Cooking you garbage food.
This week on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, we're going to, I don't know.
I'm going to wear the glasses on the back of my head.
Oh my God, he does do that. He's such a douche.
Man, the biggest douche.
Such a douche.
So, yeah, I would recommend it too, with the caveat, to watch it with a loved one. Get a little cuddle on.
Yeah.
Maybe touch a boob. Grab
or
a butt.
Or butt, yeah.
Yeah.
Get some dong.
I mean,
get some dong in that hand.
Dudes or ladies, get some dong.
Yeah, whoever wants the dong, get that dong.
Go for that dong. I don't, you know, let's mix things up before we finalize where we establish our link to the alternate dimensions because we are mad scientists. which is going to happen soon.
Sure.
I don't want to give it back to my mom.
I believe it.
I'm going to give just a little bit of work to sound engineer Andrew. Let's read these plugs. What did I do? What happened here? Let's read these plugs. You and me, we're going to alternate. It's happening. How did this fall apart? What are you doing, drunkie, on your Andre? Did you throw up in your mouth?
You said Andre.
I did.
Look of disappointment on his face.
Because I sometimes go with Andre. I frequently call him Andre.
And his face was just so hurt. Oh my God, people's pain makes me laugh.
He's like, he's the sad face in the drama pictures of the happy face and the sad
Everybody
one.
Everybody hurts.
I'm going to give some more work to sound sometimes. Engineer Andrew. And we're going to alternate these plugs. You're going to go first. What is this first one? What does it say?
Find us at facebook.com/EXPGrind.
No.
That's wrong.
No. That's already wrong. Already fucking it up. Start all over again from the top.
Facebook.com/experiencegrind, where we are posting stuff.
Once a week, but we are going to really up that.
Yeah, I think so.
So fucking follow us there.
Also, if you have any suggestions on stuff you want to see, like, I am more than happy to do the work. I just don't know what you want. So tell me what you want so I can give you what you want.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I'll take a zig, 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 zah.
Zig, zig, ah.
That's it.
Follow That's us word. As also on motherfucking Twitter at EXP Grind Podcast. That is run by me.
Yours is so much more aggressive than mine.
Yeah. I'm,
I got the Spice Girls and you're like fucking Shaft over there.
Oh, yeah. No, I run that. Ryan runs our Facebook. I run our Twitter. So if you interact with either of those, that's who you're getting. So there you go. You can find us at our
website. We will have everything there. www.experiencegrind.com. So even after iTunes or your RSS feeds run out at like 50 episodes, we'll have them all at experiencegrind.com.
Yep. And we are now also, you know, anything that you want to do, fucking find us at our email, experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. We respond within minutes. The same thing on Twitter and on Facebook. We will fucking respond to anything. We live for this. I mean, really.
Yeah,
this
our average response time on Facebook is 4 minutes exactly.
Yeah,
like
we
it's
are
good.
Fucking on it.
We are on it.
We're going to get respond. To you. We love to talk to people, so please reach out to us. We are also here. I'm going to take this one, and then you can get the last one because
perfect.
We are at twitch.tv/experiencegrind. It's been a little dead, but I'm going to re-step that up. I do admit I have taken a lot of time and played Final Fantasy 14. And I know that's not exciting because I was just leveling. But I'm fucking max level now, bitches. And you can see me do end content.
Grinding.
I was grind. Man, that game does turn into a grind towards the end. But I am at end game content. So if you are interested, I will be broadcasting that from now on. I'm playing NBA 2K16. I just got the new Ghostbusters. NBA 2K16 was free with PSN, dog.
Oh, I wouldn't have downloaded it anyway.
Yeah, I love those games. I'm a big sports guy. But I got the Ghostbusters sequel to play that instead of watch the horrible movie that is shoved down my throat as a misogynist.
Oh my God.
Turd?
It's not misogynist. That's one, that's the wrong thing.
That's what people tell me because I don't want to watch it.
Oh, you're a misogynist, Turd.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you
because
said
because I don't want to watch it.
No. Like,
I'm being told that I feminist. Am that because I don't want to watch it, which is could not be farther from the truth. We went into this on the drunk cast. I don't want to get into it really bad right now. So, yeah, follow us twitch.tv/experiencegrind. And
you can find us on YouTube. Search for us on YouTube.
Please search.
We don't have a channel name, so search for us on YouTube.
Subscribe.
YouTube.
Subscribe.
YouTube.
Subscribe.
YouTube.
Subscribe.
YouTube.
Fucking subscribe. God damn. Put that little click that I motherfucking subscribe button. So that's it. That is it.
I mean, like that. That was perfect. That was like
that was really good.
Def Jam poetry shit at
that's
the end there.
That's fucking teamwork, buddy.
Slam poetry.
We're the best goddamn podcast team you will ever
that's
find.
That's probably not true.
No. I mean, we'll go toe-to-toe. We'll fight.
Least professional.
We will fight on Tekken Tag Tournament. We'll call anybody out.
I don't do that.
No, I'll train you, dog.
I'll fucking challenge you in Rock Band.
Well, yeah.
Any instrument expert, I will play and beat you at.
Tekken Tag Tournament, Rock Band, Halo. You pick it, we'll beat you, bitch.
I got two of the three.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Crush you. All right? So that's it. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the Brothers Bloom episode. We appreciate you. For real, honestly, I will not tell the audience to go fuck themselves this time. You guys are really great. We do this 99% for ourselves. The other 1%, though, is you amazing audience. You guys really do influence a lot. So thank you. And reach out to us for real.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Yes. I think I don't ever say this. I don't think this is the first time I've said it. If you listen to us, thank you. I don't know how you listen to us.
I don't either, but thank you as well for me. It really means a lot.
Yeah, we just ramble and talk our butts, and it's fun. I enjoy talking with you.
My favorite
and
thing
like
to do ever.
The cameras and the mics weren't here. Like, I'd still be doing it.
Yeah, we did this anyways, and that's why we decided to do a podcast.
Yes, so thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, that's all I got to say to you. You guys are the best, and grind out.